Some of you may have heard in the Jewish news world that there was a letter, which is over here, that was, unless you don't have internet, there's a letter that was put up in the Beis Medrash in Bells in London regarding some issues regarding driving. I'll read to you what the letter says. This is on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan of this year. Eila Milas Kvod Horei Tamidenu, regarding our distinguished parents, Shalom Rav, Hayo Shalach Ronin, Misrabu, and Mikrim Shalimos, the Talmidim, the Talmidos, Shehichlu, Noh Berechev. It has occurred, we have seen that recently there have been many mothers who have been driving their sons and daughters in a car. Davra Hanogetis Kaliat Snius, Hanogim Bemachanosain, Bemachanenu, which is against the rules of Snius in our camp. They're very careful how they speak. To Kloli Hisnagus Hamatzim Lahorim Mostus Chasidim Bechal Mostus Bells of Beprat. This is not necessarily the minhag amongst Hasidic institutions, especially in Bells. Yishne Hismarmus Gedol Ben Hore Talmidim Mostosenu. And there's been some discussion amongst the parents of the students. Sha'anus Pikadosh Kvod Maran Admor Shlita. They asked the Bells of Rebbe. Umaran Shlitani answered. The takin takana the isha hanagus v'rechav in yichol l'shloch es yaldeha l'chaneich b'mostos Bells. If they cannot follow the rules that were set up in our community in Bells, and if the women don't drive, so then they cannot have their children attend the Bells yeshivos. Alkein hinenu hodiyah shemur Rosh Chodesh Elul, starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul, so this will be the rule going forward. It's signed by all the dayanim of Bells and all the rabbanim.
Is it Bells in London or Bells all over the world?
So this seems to be Bells all over the world. They asked the Rebbe, and this is what the Rebbe said. So this is the letter in Bells. And this was picked up by, I think, first the Israeli news websites.
Times of Israel.
And then it spread around. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to discuss the where this idea may or may not come from, and then we'll discuss the difference between different types of communities and different issues, and we'll try to put a proper perspective on what this is at the very end. But this all begins with a horse. And this is a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim, the first Gemara in Pesachim after the Mishnah, discusses when we do Bdikas Chametz. And the Gemara says, or the Mishnah says, it's done or the Arba Asar. And the Gemara wants to know, what does the word or mean? Does the word or mean day, or does it mean night? So at conclusion of the Gemara, it says it means night. And but in order to get there, the Gemara has a whole discussion back and forth. They bring proof, sometimes it means day, sometimes it means night. And at the end of the Gemara, when the Gemara says it means night, so the Gemara says, why don't you just say Laila? Why don't you just say nighttime? Why do I have to say or, this very strange word? So the Gemara said the word or is a nicer word than Laila. It's a more positive word than to say Laila. And therefore, when a person speaks, it should always be b'lashon nekiyah. And therefore, I want us to use the word or, which is a nicer way to speak than to use the word laila. The Rishonim ask, what about every other place in Shas? So the Rishonim explain that when you do something the first time, so you should try to do it at least the best way. And after that, you know, things usually fall apart. But for the first time, they want to talk in a nice way. The Gemara cites a brisa from the yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael Tanit Bey. Tanya de Rabbi Yishmael, La'olam yisapir adam lashon nekiyah. A person should always speak in a refined language. Shehare bezav karu mirkav uveisha karu moshav. So the proof in the Torah is from Vayikra Perak Tes Vav. We know in the Torah there's something called a zav and a zava. A zav or a zava is a man or a woman who has an emission from their body, and it makes them tameh. And also, whatever they sit on becomes tameh as well. And when referring to a man, the Torah refers to what they sit on as a merkav, something they ride on. And when it refers to a woman, it refers to whatever the woman sits on as a moshav, whatever she is sitting on. Now, there's really no practical nafka mina in the Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, whether between a man or a woman, whether it's a mishkav or a moshav, whether it's something that you ride on or whether you sit on, one nafkamina would be is if someone else, if the clothing of the person who sits on it, is that of the person who touches it, would the clothing become tummy or not? But that's certainly not our discussion right now. We want to know about the object that the person sits on. So the Torah says a man is merkav and an isha is moshav. So what's the proof, as Rashi explains? So the proof is that it seems to be inappropriate because the word merkav, to ride, implies like riding on a horse, and that means that the legs of the person are spread out. That's what the language of merkav means. The legs are spread out, and to describe a woman with her legs being in that fashion is not appropriate. It's not sanua, and therefore we see the Torah uses this expression when it refers to a woman to be moshav and not merkav. She's sitting, but she's not merkav because she doesn't want to speak in such a fashion. And this is how the Gemara proceeds. Now, even though the halachos pertaining to Tum and Tara are the same, the Torah uses these different languages when it comes to these inyanim. So, as we explained, Rashi sets everything up. And interestingly, let's read Rashi, Bezav ksiv, v'chol amerkav asher yikav v'isha ksiv, o'al kli ha'asher asher yosheves lefi, shein hagun lahazkir u'kiva u'pisuk ragayim v'isha. It's not proper to mention this idea of the woman's legs in this fashion. V'achal pisha amerkav v'amoshav shavim v'shnev, even though really there's no difference between the two. Rav Ram Chaim Shor, in his Torah Chaim, Rav Ram Chaim Shor was one of the great rabbanim of Europe in the 16th century. In his introduction, he writes that I will never contradict Rashi unless I have a proof. He's very, very humble. He's a very, very big tzaddik. One, really the gedolim of the gedolim of the 16th century in Europe. So in his Torah Chaim Amsachem, he says that it may not be lashon maguna. It might not be something that's bad to describe a woman sitting in that fashion, but it's really not lashon kavod. It's really not the most refined way to speak. Now, Lamaisa, this Gemara is talking about the way we speak. Is the Gemara telling you that a woman should not be merkav, that a woman shouldn't ride a horse? Is that what the Gemara is also telling us? Because if it's inappropriate to speak that way, why should it also be inappropriate to sit that way and to actually carry it out in such a fashion? So, do we have any Gemaras anywhere that would seem to imply, one way or another, that a woman should or should not ride a horse because of the laws of tznius? Do we have such a concept? So we have a Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, in the fourth source, says, Asocher, sorry, that's Ayin Tes. We don't have the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Tes, what?
Why are we looking in the Gemara? It's in the Torah. You have with Rachel and...
Ah, so not so clear. We'll have to see. That might not be a proof.
Show.
So, it might not be a proof. So, the Gemara says that the Gemara wants to know, on Tes Amud Aleph and Bava Metzia, how can you acquire an animal? Can you make a kinyan to acquire an animal by riding on it? We know that for sure that by pulling an animal, doing mashicha, you can acquire the animal. But what if I get on the horse and I ride on it for a few feet? Would that be considered enough to acquire the animal? So the Gemara on the next page says that if it's a normal way to ride, then it's considered a kinyan. It's considered a proper acquisition if it is a normal way to ride. And the assumption is that in some cases it's normal to lead an animal, and in some cases it's normal to ride the animal. And the Gemara says that it's normal for a woman to ride the animal in a normal fashion, and therefore that would be considered a kinyan. If a woman rides the animal out through the city or through the field, depending on the case, that would be considered a kinyan. So look at the comments here of Rav Yaakov Emzin at the end of the Gemara. He says, in the Hagos Yaisis, he says, Hakha mashma, didarcha shal isha berakiva be'ir. This seems to say that the way for a woman is to ride the animal normally, v'tema. Harminan resh psachim de'ein derech kavod le'isha berakiva. We just said that it's not derech kavod to do rakiva. Afil b'derech demucha chasam. Im lav mishum be'isusa, unless, of course, she's scared. The Gemaras in Psachim are regarding Rivka and Avigail, who rode on the camels or the horses or the donkeys, are in cases where they were scared about falling off, or they were in a rush, they were in an emergency, and therefore they had to ride in that fashion. But that's not what we're talking about. And Rav Yaakov Emden leaves as a tzarachin. I have one Gemara that seems to say it's a problem, and another Gemara that seems to say it's totally
practice.
Normal. And it seems to have a stira between these Gemaras. Okay? Let's look at the next Gemara. The Gemara above Metzia, Ayin Tes Amud Beis, says, Hasokhra Sachamor Lirkov Aleha, Ish Latirkov Aleha Isha. So the Gemara says if you rented a donkey for a man to ride on, a guy comes, it's like when you rent a car, right? You rent a car, only you renting the car is allowed to drive the car. If the person's name is not on the rental, you're not allowed to drive the rental car. So the same thing over here. If you rent a car to a man, or if you rent a car to a man, if you rent a donkey to a man, so a woman is not allowed to ride the donkey. because it was not assumed when the rental took place that a woman was going to be riding it. And that would not be a fair rental. Why would it be unfair about it? So the Sma in Choshen Mishpat in Shin Ches Aleph says that a woman is heavier than a man. And therefore, it's not fair. It's not fair to the rental because a woman is heavier than a man. So there's a sefer called the Yisav Racha. So the Yisav Racha says that the reality of the world around us would seem to indicate the opposite. What is the Gemara talking about? A woman is generally not heavier than a man. That just seems to be the way of the world. So what are we talking about? How could the Gemara say such a thing? Now, some explain that maybe the Gemara is talking about a woman who's pregnant. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel reads the Gemara. What the Gemara means is a woman who's pregnant can't ride the donkey if it's run by a man, but a regular woman could. Let's say that's not the beginning of the Gemara. So the Ben Yehoyadar of Yosef Chaim of Baghdad writes beautifully in his Perush on the Gemara. He says, "Le kovalai ish lo tir kovalai isha hatamya doru mipneki masa isha berakiva kaved ala behema." Yosef Merkiva Saish. It seems to be that a woman is heavier when she rides an animal. What does that mean? Da'ishno se'atzmo Yosef Merkiva. The man carries himself, his weight is not as dead when riding the animal. Ve'eno machodas behema kmo isha, k'nisu v'poskim, v'vade dabar zenemar al rova olam. Ve'nira d'chol adam arokev al behema ve'eno rogil birakiva, v'yeshlo pachad birakiva, vade machve Yosef al behema. Says the Ben Yehoyada, it could be that a woman is more as unfamiliar as riding an animal as a man is. And therefore, with someone who's scared is riding an animal, what are they going to do? They're going to hold their weight down on the animal, and they're going to become heavier. They're not going to center their weight within gravity, and they're going to make themselves heavier. And therefore, it's going to be more of a distress to the animal, as opposed to someone who's familiar with riding an animal will hold their weight properly, and therefore it won't be as uncomfortable for the animal. That's how the Ben Yehoyada explains this issue of the woman being heavier. Okay, we're going to turn to Rav Yosef Chaim in a second, but we see from here that what's the halakha that
a woman could ride.
The Gemara's objection was, oh, women don't ride donkeys or horses. The Gemara says, we have another issue, but the Gemara says nothing of any issue about riding on an animal. So that is two proofs in favor of riding a horse. However, there is a Rashi in Shmos Chaf Ches, but in Parsha Tzav regarding the Ephod. In two Pesukim, in Dal and Vav, Rashi explains how the Ephod, the apron of the Kohen Gadol, is tied. And Rashi says that it's like the apron of a woman who rides a horse. Okay, what's Rashi talking about? So he's talking about French noblewoman at that period who would have some sort of garment when they went riding, and it was tied in a way, this apron that went around the back or the front, whatever Rashi wants to describe there. And what Rashi imply as well, that a woman can ride a horse. Rashi's saying that just like a woman would ride a horse. Now, it's not entirely approved.
He's not talking about
a Jewish woman. So there's a great Maisa in the Mayana Shel Torah, and also brought by the Pnei Menachem and Parshas Pinchas and Tafshin and Dal. So they both bring the following story. They note in that Rashi says, Libi Omer Li. My heart tells me that this is what it means. Rashi's trying to describe something that he's never seen before with the vestments of the Kohen Gadol. So why does Rashi say, Libi Omer Li? It's a very strange expression. My heart tells me. Rashi does not use that expression very often. So they tell the following story that they say, they have a Kabbalah that happened to Rashi. Rashi was out one day, and he saw one day a French nobleman riding by, and on her horse. And she wasn't dressed appropriately, like a good Jewish woman. And Rashi was very bothered that he saw such an inappropriate scene, that he saw someone dressed in such a fashion, and he was very bothered by this. And he was always wondering, how could it be that, you know, I'm so careful in Shmiras Hanayim, I'm so careful to make sure I always look at proper things, how could a Kadosh Baruch Hu do such a thing, that I saw such a thing, and I'm so careful to try to keep Torah Mitzvos? So when he came down to write his Perush on Chumash, and he got to Parshas Tzava, so he remembered, the ephod that they're describing in the Torah is just like this garment that nobleman was wearing. And therefore, it must have been a shkacha pratzis, and that's why I had to see such a thing. Because I need to use it in order to write my parish on the Torah. And therefore, says Rashi, Libi Omer Li. My heart tells me that this is why things were set up in such a fashion that I had to see such an event. Okay? So, this is what the Pnei Menachem says. He's trying to explain why Pinchas had to see terrible things before he killed those people. So this is approach. This is one approach. However, Rav Avigdor Nevenson, in his Perish on the Mishnah Berurah, in the end of Chelek Vav, he has a collection of psakim in the halachos dealing with family in Os Tes Zayin. He says that based on the Gemara Psakim, a woman should not ride a horse. That it's not appropriate. Lehefech of all the Gemaras we saw, and he seems to understand that because we should mention the act of riding also means that the act of riding is problematic itself. Okay? Now, how do we deal with these contradictory resources? I have one Gemara over here, a Rashi over here, Rav Nevenson says this. I want to adopt an approach to what I think is the ideal approach when it comes to the Gemaras and riding horses, perhaps. So, there are two ways to ride a horse. One is called riding a horse astride, where you sit with your legs on opposite side of the horse. The other way to ride a horse is side saddle. Now, no one has ridden a horse side saddle in 100 plus years. There's a great Wikipedia page on side saddle, if you want to see the whole history of it. But side saddle was adopted because it was considered immodest for women to ride astride. And therefore, women developed this way of riding a horse side saddle. And I think perhaps one could certainly say that in the Gemaras that don't want a woman to ride the horse, or the Gemara Masechem, it's talking about a woman riding astride. And in the Gemara that have a woman riding a horse, the woman is riding side saddle. That would seem to be, I think, the proper way to approach these Gemaras. And also by Avigail and by Rivka, they were both in distress. And therefore, it would not have been safe for them to ride a horse fast side saddle. And therefore, the Gemara says, those are exceptions to the rule because they rode astride. They're not exceptions to the rule because they rode a horse. They're exceptions to the rule because they rode astride instead of riding side saddle. And I think that makes all of the Gemaras very clear together. Okay? Look at the end of the Ben Yehoyada in this piece. He says, before the break, he says, Gamir dekol haroke bepisuk rogayim lekan lekan, whoever rides astride, yakove gufo kal al behema, yosemin harokov asher al roglev shteyam lezad echad. Riding astride puts more weight on the animal than riding side saddle. Keminag Europa, like the custom in Europe, ke'es, shalot tirkav ha'isha bepisuk rogayim. But the woman does not ride astride, the woman rides side saddle. Now, halacha l'maisa, certainly, when a woman, if anybody's going to go out anywhere, you need to be tzanua. So first of all, if a person's going to go riding, they always need to be dressed in tzanua fashion, regardless of what they're doing. If it's only women going riding, so then certainly there's going to be leniency. If someone needs to ride a horse because it's therapeutic, some sort of a therapy that goes along with riding animals, obviously to be lenient as well. But in a regular case, it depends on the community. Depends on the norms of the community. As long as the person is dressed sanua, I guess it would depend what the norms are in certain places. But I would think that in our community, that people go horseback riding, and that would be the norm. Let's yes.
Same with biking, I assume.
Ah, good. I took the segue out of my mouth. So
how do we horseback ride in Borough Park? I don't remember.
I don't know either. So the same approach.
I forgot.
Is quoted in the Sefer Divrei Chacham. Divrei Chacham is written by Rabbi Ginsburg here in the Five Towns. So he writes in Evna Ezer Hara Mem Vav. He says, Agav Shamati, She'echad Shol Agor Moshe Feinstein. I heard that someone asked Moshe Feinstein, Mutal Isha Lelech Bo Fanayim Barabim Molo. Can his wife go bicycling in public or no? The honor shetov lo leilich baram b'fanayim. Rav Moshe felt it was not appropriate to go bicycling in public. But if she really wants to go bicycling, then it's not a problem. Now, I have a little bit of reservation quoting a psak that I heard someone ask Rav Moshe Feinstein that he might have said A, B, and C. So let's take that with a very, very large grain of salt. Rav Azar and the Shevet Alevi in Chelek Yud Chav Vav, was asked about is there a problem for riding a bicycle. So he says it depends on the age of the girl, but he felt that up to 9 would be a problem. That's certainly not for our community, not the men in our community, but in his community, that was Rav Osner's Shita. Rav Zilberstein has a piece in his Cheshukei Chemed on this Gemara Masechem Daf Gimel, and he notes that the Torah in Shmos Dalid, Pasuk Chav, says that the wife of Moshe rode on a donkey. And Ibn Ezra says that in the Septuagint, it doesn't say that it was Tzipora who rode on the donkey. It just said they rode on a donkey. So what was when the Zakenim, who translated the Torah into the Greek, But the Gemara Megillah tells us they were trying to save face of the Torah, to make things be appropriate that somebody might have misconstrued. So what were they trying to do? So he quotes from Moshe Rubenstein in his Parperes Moshe, that even Ezra felt that perhaps it was a lack of tznius to ride in the donkey, and therefore Zilberstein says the same could be applied to the bike, and he feels that it would be a lack of tznius for him to ride a bike. This is the understanding of the Shev Rakasi in Chelek Gimel Shirin Gimel, and Rav Mordechai Gross in the Omani Choman Chelek Beis Kuf Pei Gimel, and the Chaya Levi in Chelek Vav Kuf Ayin Os Beis. On the other hand, Rav Shlomo Aviner, who is more towards our camp, in the Shelas Shlomo and Chelek Beis, Tshuva Shin and Aleph says there's no reason to forbid a woman from riding a bicycle as long as it's some betznius, she's dressed betznius, and he says there's nothing to discuss. And Libi Omer Li, my opinion is that riding a bicycle is not the same as riding a horse. When you ride a bicycle, it's not the same position as riding a horse, and it's certainly the legs are not in that same position, and it doesn't seem to be an issue at all. There are some people, some poskim, who felt that riding a bike was a violation of lo silbash, that a woman shouldn't go about like a man, but I think everybody rides bicycles nowadays, so I don't know what it was like 100 years ago. Regardless, the Avne Yashba writes in Chelek Vav, Kuf Yud Aleph, Kuf Yud Ches Aleph. He says, what about a motorcycle? Can a woman ride a motorcycle? So he's discussing the case. We've all seen images of such a thing. Person's on the motorcycle, and his girlfriend's holding on to the back of the motorcycle. So is that considered okay? So he says that since it's a sakana to not ride that way on a motorcycle, to sit any other way on a motorcycle, to not sit properly with your hands holding on, would be a sakana, would be dangerous. So you have to ride that way. Who told him to go on a motorcycle in the first place? It's a good shayla. It could be us to ride a motorcycle in the first place.
He didn't ask the shayla then. Later.
I have a friend whose uncle is a doctor. He calls a motorcycle a donor mobile. So it's motorcycles are certainly very dangerous. But with that, and since we've moved on to motorcycles, let's proceed to the topic at hand this evening, which is cars. So the first tshuva that I know of that discusses cars is from Naftali Hennig, who is a survivor of the Holocaust. So he writes in his Tiferes Naftali in Simon Mem Beis Gimel. He was asked about riding a car, and his whole issue is driving a car. His whole issue is yichud, meaning if the woman drives a car alone, then maybe it might happen that she'll be in a situation with yichud, another man, and he feels that a problem. But the essence of the driving itself, he doesn't raise any issues with. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is quoted in the Nezer HaChaim on page Reish Chaf Gimel as saying that in Bnei Brak, the Rabbanim have said that the meaning is women don't drive cars, even learning to drive a car, and he says it's a violation of tznius, and maybe even lo silbash, to not go about like a man. But again, that doesn't really apply nowadays because everybody drives cars. Okay. Rav Vosner is the most strident in his opinion. Rav Vosner writes in the Shevet Levi Chelek Dalet Siman Aleph Os Beis that even learning how to drive could be a violation of tznius because it does not follow the principles of Kol Kvod Bas Melech Pnima, that generally men are more out in the public and women are not as out in the public. And he cites our Gemara Msachim as saying that it's not the derech of a woman to ride a horse. Now, as we've shown from the Gemara, that's not really what the Gemara is talking about. It's not the point of the Gemara, but this is Rav Vosner's Shita. He repeats this idea again in the Shevet Levi Chelek Zion, in Simon Yud Alf Os Beis. This is also the opinion of Menashe Klein. This is Mishnah Halachos Chelek Yud Beis Tshuva Shin as well, 12:300. And he says it's not proper, it's not sanua, with Shammai Gross in the Shev HaKasi as well, as Machmer, and so is Rav Meir Mazuz, the great Sephardi Posek in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Mordechai Gross, in a tshuva, in this wonderful sefer, this is a sefer called Meir Nesivim, all about halachos pertaining to driving. So Rav Mordechai Gross, he writes on page 243 that he thinks that perhaps a woman driving might be a violation of tznius, but it's not a problem lo silbash, and therefore he says you need to ask a shayla. If you need to drive, the woman needs to drive. So he says you need to ask a shayla to your local Orthodox rabbi. And he quotes, then the Meir Nesivim here quotes on page Kuf Lamed Zayin that he asked Rav Yashav regarding driving, and Rav Yashav said, in the place where the minhag is that women drive, so women drive. And it's the place in the minhag women don't drive, so women don't drive. He says, in America, women drive, says Rav Yashav, and therefore there's no shayla. He says, in Eretz Yisrael, there are some communities where women drive and some communities where they don't. He says, in Ramat Gan, which is a stone's throw away from Bnei Brak, so women drive. And in Bnei Brak, the custom is, could be that women don't drive. And therefore he says that it depends on the place and where you live. Now, the sheet of Rav Avadya Yosef is not clear, because the Meir Nesivim, in the Perek Tes Zayin, which he discusses this issue, he quotes that he heard from Rav Yaakov Yosef, Rav Avadya Yosef's son, that is, his father felt that there was no shaila, women are allowed to drive. On the other hand, I have a number of places indicating the opposite way. Rav Meir Mazuz writes in the Kovetz or Torah in Tafshin Nun Beis and Tishrei on page Chaf Talad that he heard from Avad Yosef that it's not sanur for women to drive. And in the Sefer called Mayan HaOmer in Chelik Yud Beis, which is a collection of short questions that were asked Rav Avad Yosef in the Rav Chaim Kanievsky style. Again, Rav Avad just seems to say that he's not in love with it, but if a woman drives, then, you know, then that's fine. So we can't really quote Rav Avad Yosef definitively on the matter. There's an amazing tshuva from Rav Binyamin Zilber of Bnei Brak in his Oz Nedberu in Chelik Yud Gimel Os Tshuva Peh. And he doesn't understand why in Bnei Brak there are people who don't allow women to drive. He thinks it is crazy. He says that the Gemara Msachim clearly has no issue with a woman riding in public. That's not what the Gemara said. He says the only issue is the fashion in which they ride. And therefore, if the woman is acting in a tzanua matter, well, who cares what she's driving? Who cares if she's driving a Segway, or she's driving a car, or whatever it is. If she's being tzanua, so then everything is perfectly okay. And then he says something brilliant. He says, Lehefeth, Adaraba. It's more tzanua for the woman to be in the car, because then she's being even more modest. She's even more out of sight in public, as opposed to she's walking down the street. So he says the whole argument is fallacious. The argument's ridiculous. What, it's more tzanua to not drive a car? No, if you're thinking about it carefully, he says more tzanua to drive a car. So he says the whole argument doesn't make any sense. And then he says something brilliant. He says, really, what's the heter for men to drive? Why? Because if you're walking in the street, and a man sees something that's inappropriate, so what does he do? He looks away, he closes his eyes, he doesn't look at something that's inappropriate. But if you're driving the car, what are you going to do? And you see an inappropriate billboard, and you're driving in the street. What are you supposed to do? Close your eyes and look away? No, it's dangerous. So he says, what's the heter for men to drive a car? He leaves his tzarach in. He doesn't know. But he says, certainly, in his opinion, that there is no issue when it comes to a man driving a car. The Meir Nesivim quotes as well, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt of Memphis, Tennessee, not anymore, Allah Shalom, he quotes Rav Schechter as saying, certainly it's not a crime for women to drive, because, as we know, Rebbeinu Schechter drives Rav Schechter, so...
I took care of that ruling.
So, certainly we know how that plays out, and he quotes Rav Schechter saying, Rav Schechter thought that the Lubav Trebi's wife used to drive to pick him up every day for lunch. So, again, we have a great Gedolei HaPoskim who have no issue with this issue of women driving as well. He quotes with Dov Lior as well, saying he does not see the issue at all. What I want to put this in perspective is a beautiful piece from the Hespedim that Rav Zilberstein gave for his wife, Rebbetzin Eliza Zilberstein, after she passed away. It's a beautiful Hesped in general and should be published and disseminated. But he tells a fantastic story, which I think puts into perspective how we should approach this issue, and certainly in our community. He says, "Pam echas chazarnu mibeis hacholim tala shomer habayis." So one time we were coming home from the hospital. Now latzi la'atzur monis, and I put down I found a taxi. Kshapatachti es adelas ani roa lispaasi ki anhaga mesayas hamonis. I saw that it was a woman who was driving a taxi. Even though my wife was driving with me, I didn't like this idea of having a woman driver. It wasn't good for me. I thought I would leave the taxi. My wife made it very clear to me that we're going to get into this taxi. Don't get out of the taxi. He says, I always embattle my das before hers. And my wife began striking up a conversation with the driver. I see that on the tag for the taxi, there's a man's name, Lo Shel Isha, not a woman's name. So this would, she answered that this is my husband. Where's your husband? Rebbetzin Zilberstein asked. Niftar lefanai kamachadashim v'hu hashir beis im chovos. He passed away a while ago, and he left with a number of debts. V'al hamonis hazos gam rov tzimchobos l'chein. There's also debts on this taxi. V'lechein anina alatzas l'yos noheges k'dil farnesis yaldei. I need to become a driver in order to support my children. Oya rayasi shama hazos. Na'asanu ad l'beisenu. My wife heard this and we got to our house. He lo if shirali l'seis l'shtar katan shal shun shekel. She didn't allow me to give her a small bill. Ela rak shtar gadol. She made me give this driver a big bill. V'chol minei tachnunim shol l'tasiv lanu odef. She shouldn't give us any change. V'ama la shizoi z'chus gadola shemishtadales l'shalem es hachovos shehotir ba'ala. And she should use it to pay for the debts. He rakta mesimcha. She was so happy with joy. Re'asi shalu nichshol l'havanas pnei almana. Look at my wife. She didn't embarrass this widow. La'achar mikan dibra aliba uviksha mimena. My wife began to speak to her and say, if you need anything, please contact us. And he says, my wonderful wife, such a tzadekas. Ani mekabel alayas hadin. Ulam ani rotza laharos lebenos Yisrael ha'yikaros ha'chushivos. Hine al Moshe Rabbeinu ne'amar shenasam libno al Yisrael libo veinav. Eize chush hayalo l'tepos miyash anagas hazos. Look at the sensitivity my wife has. Shem almani, maybe she's a widow. Vod sipra lashet shrich lefarnes as yaldab, and she needs to support her children. V'amra li raisi, my wife said, ta'ar la'atzmecha imayisa yotzi me'amonis v'nimna m'nsoa ima. Chas v'shalom, you should not drive with her in a taxi. V'haisa morida l'demos, v'haisa omera sha'olam achzariu misasir chufeha. She would cry out to Hashem, people are cruel to me, they don't want to drive with me. And look what's going to happen. Ha'rezu sakanas nefashos mamash. And that would be sakanas nefashos to hurt an almana. Elu aznayim yeshla. Look at the sensitive ears that my wife had. We see that you make certain psakim, when you make certain decisions, how it's going to impact other people. In our community, there's no shiloh. We drive, the women drive, it's not up for discussion. The fact that we've been discussing this is not necessarily no gea to us. But in even other communities, it's no one's place to say, this one acts incorrectly, this one doesn't act incorrectly, they have the Rabbanim, they're acting according to Torah, they have their own sensitivities, they should do whatever they want. But we should at least understand that when they do make such a psak, it affects people in tremendous ways. Not driving the car nowadays is something that is a given for most people. And not to have that ability to drive, as we see, can have tremendous impact on other people. We don't, and obviously I'm sure the people in that community will ask the shilas to the people who are important to them, and to people they ask the shilas to, but just to see from the story with Zilberstein's wife, the impact of driving, the impact of having the ability to use a car, and the sensitivities that come into when one decides, yes or no, that this group of people should drive, or this group of people should not drive.
Sure.